The topic this morning comes to us from the 16th verse of 2 Chronicles 11, and it's a very simple topic. You'll notice at the beginning of that verse, those from all the tribes of Israel who set their hearts on seeking the Lord God of Israel. And at the head of the outline, you'll notice the title, Set Your Hearts to Seek the Lord. So I just want to talk to you a little bit about that topic this morning that comes from 2 Chronicles 11:16. The background of the text is the division of Israel into two kingdoms. After Solomon, the kingdom was divided, and Jeroboam, through some subterfuge and deceit, led 10 tribes in a secession from the confederation of the 12 tribes of Israel. And those 10 tribes did follow Jeroboam. And as we just read at the beginning of chapter 11, Rehoboam thought that he would restore the kingdom and took an army of 180,000 and was prepared to go to war to restore those 10 tribes to Benjamin and Judah. But God intervened and said to him, well, this is of me. Do not go to war against your brothers. And so the divide between the two kingdoms became greater. And God did have his plans in all of this. Well, part of what took place was because Jeroboam set up places of idolatry. You remember that he did fashion two golden calves and he set them up in two different cities for places of worship. And as the text tells us in verse 14, the Levites left their pasture lands and their property and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons excluded them from serving as priests to the Lord. They were ejected, as it were, from their pulpits, and they were removed from the ability to proper serve the Lord. So they defected from Israel, the northern kingdoms, and went down to Judah and to Jerusalem to join with others in that southern kingdom with Rehoboam. And as the priests left from the northern kingdom, and as others departed the northern kingdom with them, they set their hearts to seek the Lord. And that's what verse 16 tells us. Those from all the tribes of Israel who set their hearts on seeking the Lord God of Israel followed them to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. And so that's what we're talking about. These individuals who forsook idolatry, and you will remember from the message last week that seeking the Lord involves the forsaking of idolatry. Those from the northern kingdom who forsook idolatry went to Jerusalem with others and determined in their hearts to seek the Lord. Set your hearts, dear friends, therefore, the Bible says, to seek the Lord. This is literally what the text says. Give your hearts to God. So that's the language that's used. Give your heart to seek the Lord. Give your heart to God. That's literally what it says. And we need to grasp the fact that the prophet here and the king here and the word of God here does say, set your heart to seek the Lord. And I submit to you that there are different degrees in which we may set our hearts to seek the Lord. And all you have to do is think about it for a moment and reflect on it for a moment, and you understand that we do move from one degree of faith to another, from one level of glory to another, and that is part of the proposition of coming to grips with the gospel and coming to grips with the Word of God and following the Word of God. And some individuals, when they come into the church of Jesus Christ, make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ that is nothing more than a formal profession. It is nothing more than a profession of faith that comes out of the head and comes out of an intellectual understanding of the things of Scripture. And as they sit under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and as they pledge themselves to seek the Lord, and as they do read the Bible, their lives are profoundly changed by the gospel of God. Set your hearts to seek the Lord. That's what we're talking about. And at the head of the outline, I do give you that idea. Set your hearts to seek the Lord. Lower levels of commitment can lead to deeper, more profound, and lasting commitment. This is indeed the case. And I would submit to you that as those who forsook idolatry came into the presence of God and set their hearts to seek the Lord, they too were profoundly changed in that process. And so there are some steps that may occur. And I'd like you to look at some other scriptures with me along this line. We read a little bit ago from 1 Samuel 10. Would you turn back to 1 Samuel 10 with me, please? 1 Samuel chapter 10. And remember the theme, set your hearts to seek the Lord. Do that. This is something that we are called upon to do. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 9 and following. Then it happened when he, that is Saul, turned his back to leave Samuel. Now, the prophet Samuel had given Saul some instructions, and Saul was following these instructions. Then it happened when he, that is Saul, turned his back to leave Samuel, God changed his heart. And all those signs came about on that day. When they came to the hill there, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him mightily, so that he prophesied among them. It came about when all who knew him previously saw that he prophesied now with the prophets, that the people said to one another, "What has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" This king, by the direction of God, and I think that's part of what the process of seeking involves. Set your heart to seek the Lord. In other words, follow the directions of God. And directions came from Samuel to Saul, and he followed those directions. And what happened? It says the Lord changed his heart, and the Spirit of God fell upon him. And he prophesied. And he had this tremendous experience before God. And I would guess that when that occurred, there was great joy within his heart. Would you not think that that would be the case? Now, drop back a minute. Was Saul, as it turns out, a converted person? Was Saul a person who in the end proved himself to be a man of God? What's the answer to that question? The answer is no. The answer is no. To me, this is quite amazing. And the language in 1 Samuel is quite specific. The Lord changed his heart. It doesn't say that God gave him a new heart. God did change his heart. God took him from being a shepherd and made him a king. And God anointed him with the Spirit to be a king. He wasn't a converted person. And he prophesied. I'm reminded of the fact that when men and women stand before God at the judgment, Some will say to our Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Yes, you may well have prophesied in the name of God and in the name of Jesus Christ. But does that prove beyond any doubt that you are a converted person? No. Set your heart to seek the Lord. Do not set your heart necessarily to gain an ecstatic experience. You may have an ecstatic experience. Set your heart to seek the Lord. And there's a big difference between having those wonderful experiences and knowing God. And some people will come to church. Some people will seek the Lord for the experience, for the joy of it. Do you remember the parable of Jesus? The parable of the soils? There was the individual who received the word with joy, but there was no root in him. And after a period of time, he fell away. See, this is what happened to Saul. And so I say to you, seek the Lord. Set your heart to seek the Lord. Set your heart to get by, as it were, the ephemeral, short experiences. Seek the Lord. It's not just for the joy. There will be joy. And you remember Jesus and what it says about Jesus in the book of Hebrews, who for the joy set before him despised the shame and did go to the cross. And so there is joy that comes. But don't be diverted to just seeking the joy and not seeking the Lord. Set your heart to seek the Lord. And then look at 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, 24 through 31. Here Saul had sinned against God. Saul had sinned against God and God rejected him as king over Israel. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and your words because I feared the people and listened to their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. As Samuel turned to go, Saul seized the edge of his robe and tore it. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. Also, the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. Then he said, I have sinned, but please honor me now before the elders of my people and before Israel, and go back with me that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel went back following Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. And why was Saul worshiping the Lord? He said, I sinned. And was it a deep and profound and lasting conviction in his heart that he had sinned against God? And did he say to God, against you and you only have I sinned? Is that what he said? No. There was a level of sorrow. There was a level of conviction. There was enough conviction there that he was able to say, I have sinned. And then he implored Samuel to go back with him so he wouldn't be embarrassed before the people and he could worship publicly before the people. Sometimes we simply desire to act the way we do because we don't want to be embarrassed. And what we really need to do is set our hearts to seek the Lord and set our hearts to come to Christ for the deep and abiding forgiveness that Jesus Christ can give. Set your hearts to seek the Lord. I want you to look at a third text. This one's in 2 Chronicles 30. 2 Chronicles 30. And there are two pieces of this text that I'd like you to look at. The situation here is similar to that which we've already looked at, where the kingdom is divided and there is a contingent of people that have come over from Israel, the northern kingdom, into the southern kingdom. And what happens is that a letter is sent out, this time by the king in 2 Chronicles 30, who happens to be Hezekiah, and he sends a letter out to all of Israel, and he invites all of Israel to come to Jerusalem to worship the Lord and to seek the Lord. And you see the response in verses 10 and 11 and following. So the couriers passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh as far as Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. In other words, messengers were sent out and said, come and worship the Lord. And the messengers were mocked. Nevertheless, some of the men of Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. The hand of God was also on Judah to give them one heart to do what the king and the princes commanded by the word of the Lord. In other words, God gave them a heart. God gave them a heart to come and to worship. God was at work in them. You see, sometimes people, when they gather together, they can have a good experience. Others may come because, well, they're feeling bad. They want to get pumped up. And then there are others who come. Why? Because God gives them a heart to do so. Really gives them a heart to do so. Drop down in 2 Chronicles 30 to verse 19. Notice what it says. I'll start reading at the end of verse 18. Hezekiah is praying, may the good Lord pardon everyone who prepares his heart to seek the Lord God of his fathers, though not according to the purification rules of the sanctuary. May the Lord God pardon those, he says, who prepare their hearts to seek the Lord, although not according to the rules. And I want to delve into that at a later point. But the thing that I want you to catch here is this. The fact that God, on one hand, gives them a heart to go after him. And then later, we see that that heart to go after God is a heart to seek Him. And the idea is that we are to seek the Lord with all of our heart. Not just superficially, because we're anxious for a little emotional lift. Not just superficially because we have some bad feelings and we want to get rid of the bad feelings. We need to seek the Lord with all of our hearts for His sake, to know Him. He is the end toward which we are pointed. And when we begin to get that idea, dear friends, there is an altering in our dispositions and in our heart of hearts that connects us with God in a very great way, because God is at work. Set your heart to seek the Lord. Who knows what God will do? One of the most graphic illustrations of this is in Acts chapter 9. And if you turn with me there, we read it moments ago. Let's read again these verses from Acts chapter 9. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do." The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were opened, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. What a dramatic thing occurred here. And what do you suppose was taking place in the life of this man when he was in utter darkness for 3 days after meeting Jesus on the Damascus Road? What do you suppose he did for those 3 days? What do you suppose went through his head during those 3 days as he didn't eat or drink? Another place in Acts says he was praying. And I'll tell you what I think he was doing. I think there is little doubt that he was seeking the Lord. Because everything that had occurred in his life up to that moment, he now understood was wrong, and he had been going in the wrong direction, and this Jesus who he had been persecuting was actually the Son of God who had been raised from the dead, and he saw it and he knew it. And there was nothing else that he could do but seek the face of God. Set your heart to seek the Lord. I think that's what Paul did. And at the end of that 3-day period, Ananias came to him and he said, "What are you waiting for, Paul? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord." And Paul was converted. Set your heart to seek the Lord. This past week I had the pleasure of sitting with the pastor of the church in Topeka, the Reformed Presbyterian Church in Topeka, for about an hour and a half. I guess we don't have time to review that conversation. But I asked him, "How did you come to a saving knowledge of Christ?" And he said to me, now this fellow is Italian. He's not Scotch-Irish. He said to me, "I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. I began working in a company where I met a fellow that seemed to have it all together. And I asked him, 'What is it that, what is it in your life? You seem to have it all together.' And this fellow began to come to me New Age literature. And my life changed." So that's part of his testimony. So my life changed. I became much more confident. I became much more outgoing. I became much more able to talk to people. and do things. I became much more confident. And my family saw that that was the case. New age. Remember Saul, the king? Then a fella came to me and said, "How does Jesus fit into all of this?" And so Joe said, "I decided I'd better read the Bible." And he began reading the Bible. And he began comparing New Age teaching with the teaching of the Bible. And he said, "I asked someone else, I think this is the case, about a church, and I was directed to a church, and this is where he met his wife. And in this process of a period of weeks, where he," and these are my words, "where he set his heart to seek the Lord through his word, and he compared what the Bible has to say with what New Age teaching has to say, as he set his heart to seek the Lord, God changed him and gave him a new heart. And thus it was he was converted to faith in Jesus Christ and is a pastor in our denomination now." Set your heart to seek the Lord. Young people, children, set your heart to seek the Lord. The sooner the better. Older folks, set your heart to seek the Lord. The sooner the better. Yes, it may be that you set your heart to seek the Lord on a superficial level. So be it at this point, I say. Set your heart to seek the Lord. Ply the pages of His Word. God will use His Word in your heart and in your life to change you in a lasting and profound way. And in the end, there will be joy in Jesus Christ that can only come by the gift and the grace of God. Set your heart to seek the Lord.